and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with President Trump's plan to deploy as many as 15,000 troops on the southern border before the midterm elections, even though what he calls an invasion of a dwindling number of destitute migrants, mostly women and children from Central America traveling as a group for protection, is about a month away from reaching the border. Joining us is Lawrence Korb, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, who served as Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration in charge of manpower and personnel, where he administered about 70% of the defense budget. We will discuss Trump's unabashed racist campaign commercial blaming Democrats for an alien invasion and the extent to which the U.S. military are being used as props to support dog whistle propaganda aimed at demonizing unarmed, impoverished migrants as a national security threat. And since 2,000 troops were already deployed on the border back in April, and Customs and Border Protection and Immigration and Customs Enforcement have spent hundreds of millions hiring more personnel, we will assess the opportunity costs of more troops than we have in Iraq and Afghanistan, dragooned away from their families to fight a non-existent threat. Then we'll speak with Haley Seufer, the executive director of the Jewish Democratic Council of America, about her article at CNN, "We See President Trump for What He Is," and make the obvious connection between Trump's cynical fear-mongering against a caravan of Central American migrants he claims is full of terrorists from the Middle East and what triggered the massacre in the Pittsburgh synagogue, since the anti-Semitic shooter's last message was a racist attack blaming a Jewish refugee agency for bringing in, quote, invaders that kill our people. We will analyze whether a shift is underway in America as the curtain is pulled back on a small, hateful man who only cares about himself, but, having legitimized and emboldened hate groups, now has blood on his hands. Then finally, we'll look into how the concept of freedom has been expropriated by the Koch brothers and other powerful plutocrats who have been successful in defining freedom as freedom from government. Using unlimited supplies of dark money, they are shaping our political politics through think tanks they fund while buying our politicians. Nell Abernethy, the Vice President for Policy and Strategy at the Roosevelt Institute, the co-author with Joseph Stiglitz of Rewriting the Rules of the American Economy, joins us to discuss her article at Talking Points Memo, Democrats Must Become the Party of Freedom, and how Americans can free themselves from monopolies, oligopolies, and a plutocratic takeover of our democracy. And joining us now is Lawrence Korb, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a professor at Georgetown University. He is a former senior fellow and director of national security studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and served as Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manpower and Personnel during the Reagan administration, a position in which he administered about 70% of the defense budget. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lawrence Korb.
Nice to be with you.
And what do you make of what's going on now, Larry, where you've got essentially the president making these incredibly racist, fear-mongering statements against a caravan of destitute migrants from Central America who, by all estimates, will not reach the American border perhaps for as much as a month. Their numbers are dwindling, and he is trying to make it seem like it's an invasion. And he's now deployed up to 15,000 troops, or he plans to, on the border. And we already have 2,000 troops deployed on the border back in April. They're still there. So if you were in charge of manpower at the Pentagon now, wouldn't you be concerned about the troops and their families? A lot of them have served for many, many tours overseas in the Middle East. And the idea of ripping these troops away from their families to give them a useless job on the border, from what I can tell, just to satisfy as props, to prop up a president in the closing days of a campaign, seems like an abuse of the commander-in-chief's authority.
Well, there's no doubt about the fact. Technically, he has the right to do this, to send the troops, because he is the commander-in-chief. However, you know, if I were there and, you know, I went assistant secretary, in fact, I used to have responsibility for doing something like that, I'd say, no, you're not going to send them on a useless mission, given, you know, what they have already done and the hardships they've endured and the family separations. Plus, what is it going to do to the image of the American military? I mean, it's one thing to send some guard troops. The governors do that an awful lot. And if you join the guard, you're used to it. But if you join in the active duty force, the last thing you think you're going to be doing is, you know, going and using, you know, getting involved in dealing with domestic issues. And so I think that, you know, basically I would say, no, you have the right to do it, certainly, but I do not have to carry it out. And unfortunately, we have a military person who's Secretary of Defense now, and while he does a lot of very good things, the fact of the matter is he's following the orders of the commander.
So when he said, General Mattis, when he was asked about whether or not this is a political move to satisfy political objectives, Mattis said, "We don't do stunts." What did you make of that?
Well, I think he was trying to say that we're not going to do it if there's no reason for it. But he had his chance. I mean, we may end up with 15,000, but the first 5,000 or so, they're already on the way. And if he was going to do it, he should have said to the president before that, no, that we don't do stunts. I'm not going to do it. Now, if you want to, you know, fire me, that's fine.
Well, there are rumors that he is on his way out. Have you heard those rumors that matter?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, what you see is several of his principal deputies are leaving. The person who handles NATO has left. The Assistant Secretary for International Security Affairs, a major job, is going over to work for Mitch McConnell.
So of the 1.3 million active duty personnel, this is not a big number, but the 15,000 is more than we have deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq combined.
Well, it's probably pretty close. Afghanistan, you know, they keep changing the numbers, about 14,000. But it's more than we have in the Middle East, and it is more than we have in Afghanistan, not necessarily total. But it's more troops than we have in any countries of the world except South Korea, Japan, and Germany that, you know, that we deploy troops to.
But these soldiers are not carrying arms, and they're not doing what soldiers normally do. I mean, that's a given, isn't it?
Well, they're not allowed to do domestic enforcement. They will be armed, but they're not allowed to, you know, use that. That's something the Border Patrol and ICE and the National Guard, under certain circumstances, that under Article 32, if they're, you know, actually not federalized. But as my understanding is, these have been federalized, so they're, you know, furnishing the same thing. They can, you know, fly them around on helicopters and help them point out people that, you know, may be trying to escape. But if you listen to Trump today, he wants them to be a wall, sort of line up on the border, you know, like a wall.
And again, I'm speaking with Lawrence Korb, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a professor at Georgetown University. He's a former senior fellow and director of national security studies at the Council on Foreign Relations, and he served as assistant secretary of defense for manpower and personnel during the Reagan administration, a position in which he administered about 70% of the defense budget. But here again, it does seem that this is really about optics. It's about satisfying a kind of propaganda campaign that's going on now on the part of the president, who is demonizing these defenseless migrants who've had to band together as a group to protect themselves against being abducted in Mexico, which has happened a lot apparently. So they're unarmed. Now, the president said there's a bunch of Middle East terrorists amid their ranks, but as far as I can tell, the numbers are dwindling. They're a month away. So here we are, less than a week from the election. Isn't it pretty clear that the optics that Trump is getting is a bunch of our soldiers with guns, even if they're not allowed to use them, standing watch on the border? That's exactly what he wants, isn't it?
Oh, sure. No doubt about it. I mean, it's for the campaign. I mean, you know, it's amazing. Even if you said we needed to do this, they're not going to get here for over a month. But why are you getting them now? Because you got an election, you know, coming up, and this is going to be, you know, something that he is going to say, you know, I stopped illegal immigration. These people were trying to come in here illegally, and when they got in here, you know, they were all part of MS-13, you know, the gang, and they're really, you know, terrorists. You think Bin Laden's son or something was in this group. None of this is true, but unfortunately it plays into his narrative.
Well, but what we know, Lawrence Korb, from previous troops, including the 2,000 that were sent in April, that they are basically not doing what they want to do, which is, you know, sophisticated security work with high-tech surveillance, etc. They've been assigned to fix infrastructures like roads and fencings instead. And they were basically the Arizona National Guard troops who were dispatched to the border on April on Trump's orders, are quite literally shoveling horse manure. They're cleaning up after the Customs and Border Patrol agents' horses, as well as fixing their vehicles' flat tires.
Well, that's right. And you can imagine, you know, when we're having a tough time recruiting and retaining, you know, good volunteers in the Guard and the active force because of how good the economy is. You imagine what this is going to do to people say, is this what I want to do? This is not what I joined up for. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And the great irony is there's less people trying to come in now than there were a decade ago.
Well, we've also, in addition to the troops already deployed, the 2,000 and now the 5,000 that just arrived, or 5,200, and then the possibility of another 10,000 more. I don't know what the numbers are, but Homeland Security has in its Customs and Border Protection, the CPB and the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE divisions. They've spent hundreds of millions of dollars recruiting thousands and thousands of personnel now. My understanding is that the Border Patrol has actually lowered its standards for admission, and they're getting the kind of rejects who couldn't get into other police forces and federal forces like FBI and Secret Service. So have you heard reports to that effect?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that, that they've had to lower their standards. They're not being able to keep, you know, the people there who are leaving. And again, it's not surprising. These are patriotic people who join, you know, to really deal with a problem, but there is no problem. And so they're having to, you know, create this. And yeah, there's no doubt about that. So you really, I mean, you're undermining the active duty and the Guard and Reserve, and then you're undermining these people who are, you know, joined our police force to try and, you know, do something for their fellow citizens.
Well, there have also been reports that the Customs and Border Patrol are losing more employees than they're gaining, and that new hires at ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, are dropping. Some of that attributed to the fact that they're doing some pretty unpleasant work, like ripping children away from the arms of their parents.
Well, there's no doubt about that, because they, first of all, you know, take him away, that's against the law. You've had, court decisions. And then the other thing, this is not who we are. We don't do this as, you know, we're a nation of immigrants. And, you know, we have certain values we stand for. And while you certainly can, you know, deal with illegal acts, the fact of the matter is going out of your way to cause problems. I mean, today in Trump's speech, he was talking about, you know, we're going to keep these people here. You know, if you apply for asylum, then you have to wait for your hearing. Well, we're going to keep them locked up until the hearing, no matter if it takes a couple of years.
So that's the plan, and building these big tent cities on the border?
Right. Yeah, that's what they're going to do, and put them in there, you know, so that if you come seeking asylum, you're going to be in this tent until we get you to court, and, you know, that could take up to 3 years.
So this is Trump's way of getting around international law and American law, that people who present themselves as refugees on your border who are applying for asylum have to be treated under international norms.
So right. That's right. These are not quote-unquote illegal immigrants. These are people requesting asylum because of the horrible conditions in their own country.
And if we spent less money on giving job opportunities and creating security in these countries, in Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, it would be so much more cost-effective. But, of course, Donald Trump is cutting those funds.
Right. I mean, he's increasing the defense budget, but he's cutting foreign aid and, you know, cutting a lot of money we give to international organizations.
So just in the last few minutes then, Lawrence Korb, I recall that Secretary Mattis, Secretary of Defense, slow-walked Trump's, after he had that meeting with Macron in Paris and saw the military parade. Apparently he was quite taken with it and wanted to have a military parade here in the United States.
Right.
And I believe that General Mattis slow-walked that to the point where it never happened, and Trump was very frustrated. So it's a bit surprising that he's going to be complicit in doing this, and as you pointed out, it may have detrimental effects on the military itself and on the military standing in our society, which has always been, you know, above reproach.
Yeah, I agree with him. I mean, the long-term damage to, you know, the military is going to be almost immeasurable. But again, you know, technically speaking, Trump is the commander in chief, you know, and he can order that. Wasn't like, you know, with the military parade, you had to get money from the Congress and, you know, a whole bunch of other things. Now you don't. You know, he gives the order and they carry it out.
But the order is essentially a lie. So how do you deal with that?
Again, I think the way to deal with it is, you know, go back to Watergate when Elliot Richardson was told by Nixon to fire the special prosecutor. Technically speaking, Nixon had the authority, but he quit.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that's basically, you know, what you need is, a secretary to stand up and say, yes, you have the right to do it, but I think it is a stunt, so I'm leaving. And then I think the president would not want General Mattis to leave because he's very proud of the fact, under those circumstances, proud of the fact, you know, he's got Mad Dog Mattis and all of that type of thing.
Well, just in closing, though, do you think the American people are going to fall for it? If it's so obviously a hoax and an abuse of power and authority on the part of the president to use our military as props for his own propaganda.
I hope not. I think the majority won't. Unfortunately, there are some people who will because they just think, you know, that these immigrants, you know, believe all this stuff, that they're overrunning the country.
But you think there's enough? I mean, I guess we'll find out on Tuesday if there's enough people in this country can see the obvious, because it just seems so blatant.
Yeah, I think most people are going to vote on other issues. You know, maybe the folks down there in the border states will be more effective. But I think, you know, the other people are more concerned about a lot of other health care, you know, for example.
Well, Lawrence Korb, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Okay. Thanks for having me. Take care, Ian.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. And again, I've been speaking with Lawrence Korb, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a professor at Georgetown University. He's a former senior fellow and director of national security studies at the Council on Foreign Relations, and he served as Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manpower and Personnel during the Reagan administration, a position in which he administered about 70% of the defense budget.